Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information.
Everybody, this is a crossover podcast episode, so it's no fancy entrance or anything. We're live at TotalCon. This is Mythwits and
Wargaming Recon,
and we're gonna do a live broadcast from the con, and we're gonna see how this goes. Hey, if this gets screwed up, we apologize. We're streaming live from a convention where everybody is competing for bandwidth, so we're gonna do what we can. So we came into the convention.
Hi, I'm Mike.
Oh, sorry, hold on.
Hi, Mike. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you. What's your name?
I'm Jonathan. Pleasure.
Jonathan Reinhardt. Thank you.
So we came in just the other day. Mike Kafis, myself, and Peter Bryant, and we met up with Jonathan Reinhardt.
Hello, all.
Which is what I was trying to get to before you stepped on me.
Good job.
So it's been a lot of fun. We are, what is today? Today is Saturday.
It is the 24th.
Right? Nearing the end of Saturday.
Yeah. So we're on day three. So we're a little burned.
Day two. Thank you very much.
Yeah. For you. All right. So what have you been enjoying, John?
Well, I want to start off by saying that because we're doing combo episode, right. It's a little different, right? So like you guys have your own special seasons that you do. So you have like a season, you have a bunch of episodes, you have your unique numbering for that. At Wargaming Recon, we go, and we never stop. So for us, this is actually episode 203, and I don't know what it is. You might not even know what it is for you guys.
Okay, so
season three, right?
Season five, and this would be 508 if it was in line, but it's going to be a special.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean 508 episodes. Right. That means every season.
It's TV numbering.
Right, numbering, yes. There so it's go. Season five. Episode 8. And I did that because, you know, I was writing like S number E, O, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you know what?
No one knows.
Who cares? 503. Season 5, episode 3. Works out great.
We typically have about 38 to 40 episodes per season.
You guys do a lot. We do like 27, and then we do a couple, I call them best of, because, you know, as you don't want to name it.
Right.
And so one of the things I do for my birthday, it's crazy.
Right.
You guys all have kids. You know what it's like with families and crazy stuff. And TotalCon's very family friendly, so there's a lot of that going on too. So like I use it to reach, but I don't want to just dead air there. So I were involved with pick two best, what we call best of episodes. The favorite episode, we shove them out. You don't get fresh content, but what we do is to make it so that you want to listen to it or in watch it, and because I've got better things to do with my time. We'll do special intros. So we'll do like another 20. It's like another show on top where we kind of do like a behind the scenes dive into it, hoping that this episode becomes one of our best episodes.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. Especially with that nice opening. Of course, that might have been edited by now. So,
you guys do your own editing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We do. So that would be in total editing time. What is that? About 5 minutes in 3 years.
Yeah, it could be about five. Yeah.
See.
No, actually, that's not true. We do minimize the editing, so most episodes don't get edited at all, right? But sometimes, like the two of them this year, I had heavy editing on because the first few minutes, sound was an issue.
Yeah.
Is anyone in the chat room could tell us if the sound is working good?
Someone's watching. Mr. Michael Thompson.
Just to make
sure.
Has
given us a thumbs up. Thank you for tuning into us live.
Fantastic. So we do about 40 episodes a year. And we take off. We take off June.
Mm-hmm.
And we take off December. And mainly because December is very obvious, you know, you got all this stuff that's, and you know, a lot of people don't have time to watch anyway. that was my thing. I'm like, you know, people don't have time over Christmas because they're shopping, all the things. And then, of course, June, first month of summer, a lot of people off to vacation. So,
yeah,
it works out good for us.
We try and put some episodes in the bank, too. We'll have to do some interviews that are, if they're, like, overseas and then kind of bank them if we had to. We may have a hole in the
Yeah, it happens. And sometimes I'll take those. We'll do just audio episodes. So, for example, we were at Balticon and we had a couple audio episodes. And what I did with those was I just put, and then I told people on the Facebook page, I said, hey, there's some exclusive podcast. Go check out the podcast if you want to hear what we did. And that way, you know, it's exclusive to the podcast list.
That's smart.
Yeah. Well, we only have about 10 of them. So,
and growing.
No, it goes up and down.
Nine. I'm one of them. Thank you.
There you go. Right.
Oh, crap. Got less people out there listening.
There you go.
We get more of our, never mind.
So, I want to point this out real quick. Yeah. If you can see all this TSR stuff, these banners that we have.
These are gorgeous, by the way. Yeah. Very well done.
Yeah. Well, that's James. James and Jason put those together because we are part of the TSR podcast network.
Absolutely.
So they help us audience and fans. Your fans, whatever.
Well, there's networking involved, right? Yes. The resources like come into that. And you get.
Right. So this is the TSR room that we're in right now. So the convention was very nice. They gave us this. So we stack it all weekend long with stuff. This is dinner break. So all the people are out eating, close this room off. Now, this is a slot at TotalCon, but I was like, nah, I'm going to leave this one open so we can do our own. So let's talk about some substance.
There's been a lot of stuff happening, though.
Right.
So they actually just finished up doing what I think is the first. They did a cosplay
a costume contest.
Yeah.
They had there was a talent portion as part of the costume contest.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Our buddy Steve Wallet, and he had entered into it, but he said he graciously and happily lost to a younger girl who he said put on quite a good performance. So
that's awesome.
Congratulations. I don't know the name, but congratulations.
Yeah, I saw Angelina in the elevator. It's a cord that we needed. She said that the girl sang a shanty,
nice.
Right? And that's what put it over the top. Steve, for his talent portion, was he said something like, Death to Dark Phoenix. I don't know who this Dark Phoenix
is. I'm not aware
of this Dark Phoenix at all. friendly competition. No, anyway, so that he didn't really have much in the way of a talent, but his costume was awesome.
Yeah. Who was it?
Captain Harlech. It's an anime, old school.
And the guy gave him kind of guff about it. He was like, well, you're not a real pirate. And he said, no, you're just outdated, or you're just on the, you know, you're an old
fogey. No, you're a primitive screwhead. You're a
primitive screwhead. That's
it was his words.
Okay,
that's funny.
Yeah, and we've been running a bunch of events. I ran a Cuba Death last night, and it went really fantastic. One of the guys that was running rooms, he had seven events, and he had to bail out. He had a problem at home. So we tried to fill his events as best we could, and it's been pretty successful. People have been okay with what we've filled with. Mm-hmm. It was a late night. It was a bad slot. It was 11 o'clock at night on a Friday night. So I filled it with Cuba Death because I couldn't get any of these other guys that were in here at slot. So I was like, you know what, I'll take it. And the reason why I was hesitant to do it is because it's a completely different kind of thing. It's not really, hey, there's Captain Harlech.
Hey.
If we can scoot over a little bit, Steve will join us. Anyway, so while he's coming in to join us, we come around that side, Steve. So I ran Cuba Death, and the people were like, oh, okay, sure, why not? We'll play a trivia game. We'll try it. No, go around that side. And they really liked it. They thought it was awesome. Matter of fact, Doug Poirier of Thunder, classic role-playing, He joined in, and he doesn't really like trivia. He's not even really good. All right, a little bit more. But he loved it. He thought it was a great game, and that's telling when somebody who doesn't really like trivia games and wasn't really interested in it, he played it, and he told me, he's like, I love this. He's like, I'm going to back it. He's like, you made somebody who doesn't really like trivia like this.
That's like the best testimonial you can get.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
That's the good part of us running into Doug last night. Was there any other negative aspects of running into Doug last night?
What, that we were up to 4:30? Or no, what, no, it was 3:30, right? 3:30?
3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Late night?
Yeah. Thanks, Doug. Yeah. Doug was like, come on, let's go. Let's go to this party at some Dark Phoenix room or something, right? And So he kept us up really late. I mean, it's not his
fault. Some of us are.
And adults blame people.
Yes. Oh, okay.
It's the American thing. Thank
sure,
you.
Sure.
We told everyone about your contest already that you gracefully lost to.
Yes, I was so upset. I went back to my room and slit my wrist.
Oh, God.
He did not really. Yeah.
No, that was part of his Captain Heart. Yeah, that's part of his
good makeup work.
Just got to remember, Jonathan has a family fever. Okay. So, right. so we're trying to stay.
It's all makeup. They're not really slit.
That's not really a cut on his eye.
Slit his wrist with bunnies.
Although we did do an episode about depression, and if you are feeling help, it's very important, and how you can deal with that, which is something that Steve, your documentary actually had a huge section on.
Yes,
it. I greatly appreciated that.
Dude,
area.
Let's talk about the documentary. So Steve released his movie.
Yes.
Woo!
The movie is out. It's actually LA Edge Film Awards. We won battery, so I'm really excited
nice.
About that.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations.
And some of the things that we addressed in the film were things like how gaming, tabletop gaming, role-playing, playing with miniatures, and even board games can help people that have autism, depression, anxiety disorders, because it allows them an outlet to get these things out. It also allows them a way of learning something you don't get when you're in a video game. I mean, a video game's great, beautiful, but there's no soul to it.
Right, and there's no feedback to it. So, like, if you're playing at a table with a bunch of people, you know, people will give you feedback on things, and mm-hmm. you can actually develop your social skills. You can't do that in a vacuum.
That is absolutely true.
You cannot learn social skills in a vacuum. You know, you think you're talking to people online, and that's social, but it's mm-hmm. really not, because you're missing out on the, you know, we talk about science on our show, so mirror neurons mm-hmm. in the brain. So mirror neurons are when you see someone's expression, that's how you know how to make expressions mm-hmm. and how you know how to interact. You can only get that with a real face.
Right. And so, physical contact has been shown to lower blood pressure. It's been shown to help people states. I mean, there's a lot of good reasons.
Which is another reason, if I get you upset and your heart rate gets up, I should give you a hug. It's physical contact.
No,
it's
no,
okay for men to hug one
it
another.
It is not. So last...
hug it out, buddy.
No, I got to tell you, you know, we've had some really fun games here. Speaking of that, the other night we did a game with Steve. His regular... so he had this event. And he had a bunch of players come, like three of them, four just disappeared. Like, they didn't even tell you they were leaving or
no.
not coming back. They
no,
just
they gamed for 10 minutes and they got up and walked away.
Right. So we were in here and I was like, well, I'm not doing anything. I'll play. Right. And Mike
yeah.
played. And,
yeah.
Who else joined us on that one? Just out of the blue.
Corey's squared were both there already, weren't they?
Yeah, right, the two Corey's. Well, it was Dave Benavides.
Yeah, he yes. jumped in. So, right, you all know David. So yeah. if you're watching Myth, if you know Mythwitch, you know David. He's in the chat room all the time.
Everyone knows David.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it was me, Mike, and David that jumped in, and Corey was already here. Right? He's like,
yes,
dude, we had the best time. That was one yeah. of the best games I've played in a long time, and it was
thank
totally
you.
Ridiculous.
I had a great time.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. It was great.
It was an awesome game, and I really was disappointed because the guys who actually left, I played in your game the next night with yep. those same guys. And they are great. They're awesome. They get into the characters. So, yeah, they left. It sucks. But the game we had blew away probably what I'm
doing. Yeah. And they were, oh, my God. So they came into my game last night. We were running this big jump, and which is this, it's like a skirmish thing. So there's a little bit of role playing because you kind of got a character. And then there's a board, and you put the characters down, and they all fight. It's like Running Man. It's basically like a board slash role playing version of Running Man. And the way you win is by points. It's not about who survives. That does help you with points, but ultimately you're playing for points. These guys were racking points like crazy. They glommed on to what this game was about in right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
They were blowing the other teams away.
Yes.
And it's not that the other teams aren't good players. You guys were doing great. You know, you were actually killing a lot of them. They lost members faster than anyone. All right, their whole team got destroyed.
Yeah, their
right?
whole team was wiped out first. And,
and yet they still won.
Yeah,
they did.
Nobody could catch up after the
right.
amount of, I guess, the kamikaze-type kills that they earned points on killing themselves and some.
Dude, like, every round they were doing testimonials, which was part of the game,
right.
and they were acting it out, and they were getting tons of – those points added up a lot. It was like mm-hmm. 500 here, 600 there. You know, and people were getting, like, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 points for things. But these guys were constantly getting – 500, 500, 500,
right.
500, and it was adding up, and they blew it out. They just blew it out.
And the other thing is, like, as their characters, it was really fascinating to watch their group. They got more excited about it, even though they were being wiped out. On the surface, it looked like they were losing, right? But they were just so excited about everything and so into it. We're like, with my team, when the guys got wiped out, they sat in the corner.
You know?
My team came in last place.
Yep.
Well, I won the game regardless of it.
Yeah, Meat Shield.
Meat Shield. What, yeah. All right, yeah. So really quickly, this game is called
The Hunt.
And it's basically a game, if you just imagine The Running Man. So look for it. TSR is going to partner.
They already have.
TSR
is the one selling. It's a place you can buy it. It's from TSR. Games.com.
Why don't we start it back? Because not everyone might be aware of The Running Man.
Okay.
Go back to Foundation, right?
Yeah. You're right, Jonathan.
I mean,
for our younger viewers.
I got depressed.
So if you're my age or younger,
I can't talk.
If you're the kid in the room.
Right. So The Running Man is based off a Stephen King book.
Yes.
And it's weird because it's like a sci-fi type. What does that kind of horror elements it really? The movie made it more of a sci-fi, but I bet the book. You read the book, right?
It was a short story.
It was
30 years ago.
Right, but it was. It probably was a little more on the horror side.
No, but he did a lot of under his alias, because he didn't write it as Stephen King.
Oh,
he wrote it as Bachman or something like that.
Yeah.
That alias, he did not write horror. He wrote other types of stories.
Gotcha. Okay, all right.
It's a dystopian society in the future.
Yeah, so you go in the future, cyberpunkish or however you want to talk dystopian or however you want to phrase. So basically in the future, you know, crime has gone out of control and, you know, people don't care as much about each other as they used to. And, you know, life is less precious. So they take prisoners and they put them in this arena and they put the prisoners up against the weapons and it's like WWF meets cyberpunk.
WWF meets death row.
There you go. Okay. All right. Fantastic. And the idea is that these guys with all these weapons and stuff kill prisoners. And if the prisoners can survive, even though it's stacked against them, they get let go.
Kids, IBDM. Running Man, Death Race.
It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah, and the letting go part is theory. Remember, these are corporate oligarchies that are running the world right now, and you never control.
So letting go means that they say they let go.
Right.
Anyway, so... So the idea of the game, it's really crazy. It's gonzo. It's over the top. You know, you get points for personal disregard for safety. You lose points for being cowardly or running away. I don't know. You were doing the point. You were like calling out the points. What were some of the things you get points for?
You actually get points for if you dodged bullets,
right?
Or if you dodged an explosion, you get points for successful injuring people. A lot of points. Successfully ending a player's life.
Right.
Including your own.
Right.
Yes.
Although you lose points because you died. So if you lose it, that was one of the things that got people. At the end of the game, you tally all the players that were lost. And for those.
Gotcha.
Right. But it's actually a net because you get 5,000 for killing a hunter, even if it's yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then you lose 2,000 for that hunter.
It's
a net. So if you kill yourself, you get 3,000.
Now, we were playing it as a tournament thing.
Yes.
In the actual game, if your characters survive, the more points to build them better in future games?
Yes. You get money and, you get points. You can build the characters up over time.
Okay, very cool. So there's a reason not to kill yourself in the game.
Yes. If you're playing it more seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine if you played that game in an altered carbon universe, though?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so there was The Hunt. And then, you know, James is going to be releasing Pulp Era through TSR. We don't know when, but sometime maybe next year. So we were doing some alpha testing on that. He's got a top secret game later tonight. So it's been pretty good running a bunch of TSRs. So what are you doing, Jonathan? Like, have you gotten into anything?
So that people probably know, I don't do role-playing games. I've done very, very little bit. I did a little bit of Torg way back in the day. A little bit of D&D, but like not enough to really be. So I always look for. I got to play 1870 board game American Revolution. That's up to four players. You can do as little as two. One side is the British. They divide it over to British and British Redcoat Army loyalists, and then the other side is the Patriots and Redcoat Army. Kind of think of the board as like a Risk style board, where you have meeples, wooden cubes that you create a larger army represent. You only have so many dice, three red, yellow. So if you bring like 10 red cubes with you in area. You're only rolling those three right dice, so it doesn't matter. So you need to find the right combination of things to get the good probability. And the game ends with the winner when you count up who owned and then decide with what colonies wins. And around whatever, how hard can it be? You just look, you look at the map, right? And you, there's cards. So everything is this card mechanic, mm-hmm. which you'd be familiar with. You have a hand of three cards. Some cards are special event cards. They represent things that happen, like Betsy Ross might have, or the French coming into Newport, the Hessians, you know, arriving in.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So those come up randomly, of course, as you have a deck. And then a movement, and that denotes how many armies you can move, where you can move them. You get reinforcements at the start of your phase. New units also, you might have units that have fled. Instead of them, to here, right, someone, you have a combat, some of your units fled. They don't flee nearby. As you, like, okay. They go nearby to the nearest friendly forces, right? They end up in this little pile out on the Atlantic Ocean, and you can put them anywhere on the map when they come, okay. which is a little weird.
There's international waters.
Yeah.
They get pushed out into the water.
They just, you sit here on this island, this maybe an island like China, and then they come back. And there's some, so you really get this ebb and flow with it, and because of the randomness, you never know where they end up. And I found every single game that comes down to the last rounds of it. It's not a standard you go, I go, pull colored cubes out, so you don't know, keeps you on your toes. I'm going to plan out 20... you know, turns in advance, you really have to be thinking in the now.
But there is a reward for skill, though, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like, if you're better at the game, you mean.
Of course, it's not all chance, because if it was just all chance, then I mean, playing, right?
Okay.
So you really do need to kind of figure out what areas are, where do you really have it making it? You need to build them. You move your units up to go and attack a nearby place. You don't want to leave your home to right in.
What game is this?
1770 Academy Games. You can actually pick it up. Crossroad Games, they're here. At TotalCon, they do some of the other, where I picked up my copy. Great game. I highly recommend. So I did a pick.
Now, that is not the game that I saw you sitting at.
No.
You were at a very robust terrain type of game. Can you explain a little bit about that? Because so, I was fascinated. You know, the terrain boards
in
the gaming room?
Beautiful terrain. Yeah.
This is a game all of you would all love. And it's highlighted, tend to highlight. And the guy who runs it, Mike Pick, co-host of Wargaming Recon.
I heard his name.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And... so it's called Searching Hing Hai for the Peking Man. He does era stuff. He sets it in his fictional Shanghai, and he's created all the terrain from scratch.
It's like out. This tall.
It's amazing. It's like 13 feet of table space. He can fit up 15 to 20 players. And his one rule with this game is that kids and grown-ups who can play well with it all know. We may not all want to do that, right?
Yeah, I know.
And we might not do well with it. And he wants to promote growth through, like, the kids are coming in, eventually we're all gonna not to be more, we're all gonna die and go away. And then who's left, right?
Right.
So he does this really open world, kinda get a little bit of historical aspect, like crazy characters that you would get from like any pulp movie, right? And it's an open world. You can do he uses a D, it's really simple. 0 through 4 is a success, and of course anything higher is not. And when you wanna move, you can take control of boats, vehicles, and all depending on what it is. I happen to have 2 gyrocopters for some reason. Don't know why.
I mean, okay, all right, go ahead.
Yeah. They move 25 inches, they have these fucking cannons on them.
Yeah.
And shoot and do whatever. And I like if you came up to him and you're like, okay, Mike, I want to do this like completely off the wall. Something that, like, if a player came up to you as a GM, I want to do this crazy thing. And you're like, you're trying to figure out what's the DC check that you're going to do. So he's doing the same thing, but he's doing more in a minis and pseudo historical aspect.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, okay, you want to jump off this building, fly, and land over on that ship, come down the sail. Kill the captain and take control. And we're like, okay, yeah, you can do that because it'd be awesome for the game. Or like, roll a couple D10s and let's see what's going to go on.
Right.
So everything's on that D10 mechanic, so you get the really good probability. It's pretty equitable. The kids love it. I love it. I call him a superstar GM. He's probably game master.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
I think we're going to do that.
He's fantastic. Well, I mean, I was lucky to have him.
Yeah.
He does all the conventions. Council, he goes to Carnage, OGC, Havoc, Huzzah. So he hits all the ones up. I'm probably because he's an amazing person.
You know, I saw out in the same room, mm-hmm. this guy had a BattleTech board, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the BattleTech figures were like,
that's cool.
Oh, so cool.
Like, what, like a foot and a half?
Yeah, yeah. And the hexes were like this big, okay. right? And he had terrain, so he had, and he used the foam, like hex cut out, mm-hmm. right, stacked up. And he had these big buildings. Some of his buildings were like this mm-hmm. tall.
Okay.
And he had water and stuff. And I went over and I talked to him for a minute. These are the big. Where do these come from? Apparently, they are figures that you could buy,
what?
Right? Yeah. Apparently, like he had like a Warhammer, like the Warhammer.
Okay.
Not Warhammer 40K.
The Rifleman.
But the Rifleman, right? He had that, and he had a bunch of other ones, and then he had one of his own, basically what he made up, It was a – he basically took a giant AT-AT model.
Okay.
And then took two big Lego blocks and stuck on the side and painted it up to be –
Oh, that's right? Cool.
Oh, it was badass. I want to try that. I would love – I hope he's here tomorrow and I can go in later tomorrow than we normally would. If I can squeeze a game in, because I, you know, Steve, you know, I love Battle. BattleTech's one of my favorite games. I love running mechs around.
It's the one game I play at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually play BattleTech here almost every single time. Last year, I played Car Wars in place of BattleTech.
Yeah, I was supposed to play. I've never played, but after watching the doctor, people were like strictly like, I love it or I hate it.
Right.
Like, there was no middle ground for that.
So
why do you think?
Okay, so Car Wars, you've played BattleTech, right?
No, I'm familiar with, but I've never, it was...
Have you played Crimson Skies?
No.
See, okay. So
BattleTech was a little too fiddly for me. Like, I could take 8 damage to this part of my arm before. I was like, get it. Like, okay. Do I take it?
So what it is you have a chart that's basically a drawing, right?
Okay.
And on that chart, it has little tiny pips, and that's your armor and the damage. If you take a hit, you just check them off. Really easy. Okay. Straightforward.
Very simple system.
Okay.
I cut my teeth on that system a long time ago.
And, BattleTech uses D6s, Car Wars uses. So they're very easy, very basic. But what's really nice when you're just use BattleTech, every year they came out with all these new books, and you got to watch the technology develop over decades.
That's cool.
So you can go back in time and play the original stuff, which is what I prefer, or you can play the later years. And you can take people from the later years and put them up against the earlier mechs to represent a higher tech society battling a lower tech society. And it still works. It all flows, you know. With Car Wars, it's the same thing. You got to watch the technology develop as each new thing came out over the decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really fun games. Quick, easy, you die faster than you walk across the room.
Well, the Car Wars table here is amazing.
Yeah.
Stephen Parento, I think, a bunch of it.
He's done some, all of it. There is another guy who comes here, and he does it every year, and it's his brother. That's the
Bob
guy
Yates.
He does a fantastic job, and he does it in honor of his brother who passed away several years ago. He still runs. Yeah, he is.
Yes.
So what is your favorite table, like, Worms type game? You're like, whether it exists anymore, it doesn't, you got to play here, you didn't. What is it absolutely?
So for me, because I tend to do a lot of history, it doesn't get a lot of play here. It's odd, because I've talked to the organizers, you know, they don't mind it, but anyone wants a historical game. My first year, I was really worried. So how does this work? Because other cons, you don't register the time slot, you pick the game, so like, you know what you're going to get. Or some of them just like, you open the door and you go. And I was really afraid to do all this work, right? Because not to put down RPGs, because like, you need to have a lot of experience to do it, but with minis, like, you got to make, you got to build it.
A lot of prep.
Like, it's boxes of stuff that you got to bring. So like, the game you saw, that guy Mike, who has a pickup truck, and he fills the whole back of his pickup truck with all that stuff, lugging crate after crate of minis and terrain and just all the stuff, if no one's going to come. So I had a freak out, as I do. I get stressed, and I'm like, and then I move on. And so I talked with Angela, and she's like, you know what? We get a lot of historical people who like to come, but they tend to come here because, and yet they see historical things that they'll play it here. And so the first year I ran something with, he's a wimp and decided he'd rather go to Texas to go on vacation with his family instead of coming here. Hey, he's not here. He can't defend himself. So
right,
three games.
Adrian, I can't tell you how many autographs I've given based on the movie.
Which he's in.
Which you're in. You could have been a celebrity. But
he blew it.
You
had a lot of talking going on that one.
Sorry.
Too.
Very disappointed.
Here's your opportunity.
Maybe we should just come to the
well, I know. It's just been a few, right? Just a couple dozen.
That's kind of a thumb in the
just
eye.
Black out his head.
And
just
the horse
voice like this. Well, it already isn't that low.
Maybe make it like this.
Make him sound more like me.
Oh,
him and the other
you
woman.
Sound just fine.
Oh, thank you. I still get, ma'am, can I talk to your husband? What? Is your parent there?
Really?
Yeah.
So, you actually didn't answer my question.
No,
yet.
I didn't. But see, that's what I do, because as a former politician, I never answer questions.
And
I just talk around them.
Like a good person, you know, like the press.
I should get to it. Yeah. So the first year, what we did, it's rule system. It's put up by Warlord Games. And it's actually of Warhammer. The guys who created who worked for Games Workshop, which is here because of Dungeons, because they got the an early license from TSR to do that, and then they decided they wanted to broaden out, inspired by so forth. They all left and decided, we really like historical games. We don't want to do this game. We want to do this. Like, this is our real passion. That paid the bills. But not. So they created really broad, it covers basically from just after, like, medieval time all the way up to early, really, from, like, War of the Roses up. And they've since kind of split things off, so they actually have, which really does that English Civil War kind of stuff. They have an ancient, the biblical stuff you can do, feudal Japan or any of that kind of stuff. But what I really love, because it's so broad, although it's not going to get in, you pay $35 for you can get whatever, and that basically opens the door to you, so you can get a lot of money. And then you can use whatever you want for the minute. The rules that they do, what works for your gaming group, because these are the rules that they use with it. Maybe other people put it out. You can just get a lot done with it, and the expansion, like modules or whatever, for to just kind of grow their terrain and models and all that kind of stuff, kind of created their whole with them. And it's smart. It's great business, but it's also good for the consumer. So I've gotten game after game after game out of it. Different battles. War, Red War, you can do Napoleonics. I can do it all.
So that's your favorite system.
Yeah.
It's called Black Panther.
It is, and it's also the game.
Right. Well, there you have it, folks. The best and most amazing host of any wargaming and podcast the world is telling you.
I never said the best. I'm just too stubborn to quit.
Mike said, and I'm going to agree, it's the best.
I have to agree. So you got three votes.
Hey, so by the way, hi, David. David joined us. Yes, David Benavides.
Mad Props, who everyone knows.
Right, yeah. All right, so, you know, we don't want to make this one too awful long.
No.
Right?
How are we on time?
We're doing well. Okay. We're doing well.
What are we?
We're halfway through.
Halfway through, okay. So what do we want to talk about now?
I wanted to just talk about a little bit, just in general, of TotalCon and our experiences. Let me start, and this is something that you and I did talk about already. Yep. And that is that Pete and I flew here. Usually it's a nice, I got to use the scare quotes, nice 7-hour drive, if we're lucky.
If we're lucky.
And where we start at 6:00, 5:00, 6:00, I'm from Baltimore, northern Baltimore. Make our way up around the New York area, and however that all goes up to.
We get lost. Yeah. This one spot every time.
Somewhere, yeah. And then all of a sudden, we get here, and our accents are changing, and everyone says, you know, hey, how you doing there?
Right.
So
we just came from the Duncan.
This time, we didn't have time to drive, to get our voices to change, our voices, accents to change. So we flew, and even though the flight itself was a little iffy, we finally did get here, wheels down, excellent. I think the most kind of just beneficial thing for us was we actually gained, through this flying, an entire day. We got here, 11:30, got to the con around 12, 1 o'clock.
No, it was before 12. It was a good before. It was at least 11:30.
Yeah, and, you know, we were able to check in early. So we actually had, like, half a day to actually do something on Thursday.
Yeah.
And since we're leaving at 5 o'clock on Friday, we'll have all day tomorrow, on Sunday, we'll have all day tomorrow morning to do something. So we actually gained an entire day, whereas we would be leaving, we're pushing it if we leave 11 o'clock, you know, to get home at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know.
Or 9 or whatever, right? And then get up and go to work the next day, you know. So it's been great, you know, and the flight was low stress. You know, it was great. I wish we could fly every time.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard Pete say something was low stress, I'd have a nickel.
You'd have a nickel.
And it would have just appeared in my hand right now.
Now, while you guys did the flying, I did the driving for you.
Right.
So we came up on.
And who's we?
Me and Nino, my brother. He looks like a goat, but he's not here.
He's a handsome goat.
Yes.
Handsome goat. Yes. Very handsome.
And because we got in early, we were able to start getting games in Wednesday night, which was really sweet.
I wish I had one more day that I could put in, but sorry. I know. But I have, I'm going to Gary Connell. I have to take some more time off of work, so I couldn't take that extra. So I was like, and Mike, I mean, with his new job situation, it's hard for him to take extra. So, victim of
envious, because every year I'm like, okay, all this stuff happens on Thursday, like the flea market. I get really excited about it. And I'm not coming from after. I'm local, right? But traffic here is one of every year. I'm like, I'm going to take off. I'm going to do it. And I also say, I'm going to take Zombie on Mondays, and I never do it. So I'm going to be at work Monday and be like, darn it. I should have took Monday. I should have went on Thursday.
So what is this area of
Massachusetts called here. We're
Metro West.
So this is West, because I just, to me, when I look at the map, it feels kind of like we're central.
You're kind of in the middle, but so you're not quite in the middle because you go a little bit further west and you get to Worcester, the Worcester Hills.
Worcester?
And then you go to Springfield and so forth and further. But you're not quite all the way, so you're not actually, you know, so, North Shore, South Shore, or whatever.
So we're in not Boston.
Not Boston.
Right. That's where we are. Not Boston.
And as far as we're concerned, it's Boston, New York, nothing, California.
Right. Yeah. 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 not to say that it's too entirely important, but there is a whole world in between.
Yes.
No, there isn't. He pointed out that
Springfield is where the that's from any point in Springfield, Mass, you could get to any other Springfield anywhere in the country.
Well, they
correct?
Have teleportation devices. That's what I thought. You go on, and the next thing you know, bam!
Books on paper.
Of course it does.
Yeah. So we've got a few more things left to do. We've still got some done recording. We've already got people starting to filter into the room for the events that are coming up. So we've got a couple more events tonight, and then after that, we've got an industry party that we do.
Yep.
Which is fun because it's mostly just the industry folks who get together. It's kind of for us because we do a lot of work. It's an opportunity for us to network. And then tomorrow, you roll out, Steve, early, right?
Yeah, I'll leave around 11.
Okay.
Maybe around.
Yeah. Right. And then when do you leave?
I leave about 9 or a little bit.
You're going to stay. We're going to stay. We're going to see people off. Hey, drive safe. Yes. Right, drive safe. Mm-hmm. Right, drive safe. And then hopefully we'll get a ride to the airport, but otherwise we're poor.
And you know what? Let me take this time to say one thing. I give Pete a lot of shit. And sometimes I make him out to be a bag, or sometimes I'm an a-hole, and he is right to point it out. But I want to say something. I want to give you credit. Thank you wholeheartedly, from the cockles all the way to the top,
right,
that, you know, for giving me you, Pete uses miles.
Yes.
And I thank you for that.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, yeah. I was looking at the miles. I was looking at flying up. And I have an American something.
Airlines.
Yeah. Well, it's an AA. It's a weird name. It's like an aviator. And I had like 45,000 points on it. And I just, you know, I don't like flying them. I just don't. They don't, out of BWI, they don't fly anywhere. You got to go up to Philly to get a decent flight out of anywhere. And even there, it's not great. Right. So I was just like, I've tried to use them before. I was going to use them to fly to Gary Cobb. It was not working. So I was like, well, you know what? I'm looking at Philly to Boston. It's so bad. I was like, that's all right. So it was literally like 30,000 points for the both of us to fly. I still have 15,000 points. I don't know when the hell I'm ever going to use them.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah. Right. So I was like, I want to fly. I know Mike can't afford it. So I'm just going to give him 15,000 of my points. I don't care. It's cool. And it's been great. The only thing that was a little weird was our flight out here. We had delayed our plane, then they stuck us on a different plane. Because apparently they keep one in the garage, right?
You laughed at me. I was like, oh, they got to have a plane in the garage just waiting in case one breaks down. He's like, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're just sitting there waiting. And they said, well, folks, we were able to get another plane for you. One out of the corner and we're ready to board. So,
right. Same size plane and everything. Had our same seats and everything.
Now the best part. Because I think I don't know if we tweeted this out or not, but the captain goes, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for waiting. We apologize for the delay, and the plane was not suitable for Boston. This one seems to be good, sir. Like everyone's like, you know, sphincter and eyes, you know, one dilated and one constricted. You can judge.
So and then Mike's like, I started going, yeah, you know, if we get up in the air and one of the engines falls off, you know, we'll be careful. I'll let you know about that. Mike's like, you know, Pete, people listen. Some people are anxious to fly. I'm like, we haven't seen any smoke fill the cabin just yet. And he's like, stop. I'm like, I was like, hey, our wing is still attached. But no, it was fine. We took off.
We need people to grab one of the wings to help us fly the plane.
No, one more thing, though. This flight was so short. Right? Yeah.
Were you up in the air for 30 minutes?
Like up and then down. So they bring the cart out and they start giving everybody drinks and stuff.
Where's your coffee, sir?
Yeah, and I got coffee. I got hot coffee. And I'm like, okay. Oh, thank you. Great. And they give me these cookies. You know, right. They're really good. I'm dipping. This is really nice, right? Prepare to fill up your tray. Prepare to land. I'm like, we're starting. And we're like hitting turbulence. And I'm like, and it was like spilling. I spilled it on my leg. I'm like, what?
And I did the only thing I could do.
Laughed my ass off. Because I'm like, I need to drink it down. Oh, it's hot, it's hot. It was, that coffee was still steaming hot. And I'm like, But it was fine. And no, we landed. It was great. We went outside. Jen Gerber, a little shout out to Jen Gerber. She came and picked us up. Showed up like,
poof, like isn't she like, amazing?
Like
she
a is. Genie.
She's awesome.
Yes.
Thank you, Jen.
Yeah. I texted her, said, "Hey, we landed." She's like, "All right, I'm running a little bit behind. It's traffic." I'm like, "All right, no problem. Whatever."
Yeah.
So we go out to the spot. Where they have pickup, and then whoop, here she comes. God, how did you get? Did you teleport here? So that was cool, and they're gonna help us get back to the.
Well, she's now in for the convention.
Yeah.
Big step amazing. Up for her.
Yeah, but we kind of pulled that out of nowhere. Like no, we no. decided to fly late. I didn't make any arrangements ahead of time.
Well, but do you know what? I think that just goes to show not only what, but they do that for everyone.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, not literally gonna be like, hey, right. but they really do what they can to make this as accessible as friendly for mm-hmm. everyone. What you want to play, no matter
right.
what you like, this is it's a place for you.
If anyone, if you are anywhere on the northeast coast from Baltimore on up to Maine, I highly suggest, I really do, right? We make, every year we make new and just more awesome.
Well, shit, I've stolen Steve up here, man. I convinced you to come up.
Yes, you did.
And he's become like a regular.
I originally was like, there is no way I'm driving to Boston. Especially a small convention, because this is a small convention
comparatively
to what I'm used to.
Yeah. About 1,000 people.
And he convinced me to come up here, and I have to. Since I have come the very first time, they have family, I've made so many friends. And then, like in the film, almost everyone we interviewed, no matter where I was interviewing them, said TotalCon was the best convention.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. Yeah. It really is. It's like, I call it a big, small convention. Mm-hmm. So it's like a small gaming convention, but they treat it like a big convention. It's
with a big heart.
Right. Well, it's big. I mean, it's big enough to do everything you want to do, to have more stuff than you can do, mm-hmm. right? But not big like Gen Con where you just get lost.
Yeah.
And nothing against Gen Con. Look, I like Gen Con. Gen Con's fun, but it's a different kind of con.
No, well, it's the best, smallest.
And it's growing every year.
Possibly on the East Coast.
This year is the biggest. She didn't confirm it yet, but she was saying that they were looking to sell out.
Yeah,
like they might have to turn people away.
Wow.
Which is the first time ever. And they've got, she said she has access to the convention center that's right over there.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that if it gets big enough, they will
Wow.
So pretty cool.
Yeah, good stuff. Very much so.
All right, is there anything else?
Do any of you guys have cool stuff coming up that you want to highlight? Or?
Just my Kickstarter coming up.
Cuba Death.
Maybe next month, Cuba mm-hmm. Death. I'm hoping next month. I'm hoping. There's a lot of prep work into one of these things, and I don't know if people realize how much work goes into a Kickstarter. And I've done
several.
Yeah, and I've had one successful. It is not easy. You don't just go, I'm just gonna do a Kickstarter and raise some money. No, it's a lot of work, and that's why this one has been delayed. Like you want the pieces to fall right. So I'm getting there. The game is basically done. I'm just trying to hammer down the last few.
Well, you and I talked.
Yep.
Who do we have on our next episode? Monday, we're going to do a show with me.
Well, no, what's funny is that we were going to do a show about TotalCon, like a TotalCon wrap-up.
So we may just show
you get
this
a week
show.
Off.
Well, we may just show this show. So if Very you're nice. Watching this now or watching it, this may replace our movie.
Yeah.
Mainly because we'll see.
So I got something I'm working on that you guys are well aware of, and it's called the Nerd Broadcasting. It's a television station that we are getting closer by the day to. And if we are able to do what we hope to do, we will be bringing you a sci-fi and horror and gaming-based television geared completely towards. We've already licensed over 300 movies. We've licensed about 45 television series, including old things like your favorite, Flash Gordon.
Yes.
Undersea Kingdom and various other of the old serials. I got a hookup with somebody who has original reels, these films, and we are the ones actually really cool. Hopefully, everything goes right, and by summer, we'll launch. We use TotalCon as the big announce that we're moving forward. The only thing holding us back is the key funding, so if any of you are rich millionaires or billionaires and want to come and gain a part of the company, give me a call.
Yeah, and then the MythWits is going to be part of the broadcast network,
and we're getting Recon.
Yep.
Yes.
So and other shows, it's going to be a startup. Some of the shows are not going to be super Hollywood published just yet, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
The word we may even bring you some old MythWits episodes.
Yeah, which are not polished.
They're going to be authentic.
Yes, real deal.
Very realistic.
Yes.
Very lifelike.
Yes.
And then if we're able to do everything we want to do, we will set up a full production facility
right.
for making very high quality fights.
The plan would be, the big ultimate big plan would be Mythwits would actually film out of a set point.
Yes.
So we would have an engineer. So it wouldn't be me cursing every time something didn't work right.
Oh, well.
Well, I might be cursing at somebody else. At someone else. Not at right?
Yeah, yeah, complete studio with Green L. So and then, it'll be nice.
And then green M&Ms in the green room. I can't have that.
And then, of course, we could create other content to show that we would actually have time to fun stuff, you know, going places, filming. Like, hey, let's show that video of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like movies with Libby.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also are pitching a reality show that any nerd out there would probably be interested in. It's going to be called Nerds in the Woods.
Right.
And that's going to be really fun. But I can't tell you other than the title.
Okay. All right. And Jonathan?
Well, so for us, as I said at the start of the show, this is episode 203. And if anyone listened to it is interested in actually diving deeper into the stuff we talked, covered a lot of things there, right?
Yeah.
So we do really in-depth show. He's amazing. He's down in Australia. I'm able to pay for him through our Patreon. I want to thank all of our patrons for that. But you can go to wargamingrecon.com/WR03 to get those show notes. But we actually have some reviews coming up of different products. We're going to be doing some other convention. Like you guys have mentioned, summer's really kind of, life is so busy for us. It really, we've scaled back to really cherry pick the ones that have the highest. And us, oddly, those are the ones that are like less than.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So they're like, we didn't go to the con. We can't go. People in the UK and Australia and all, they're like, we're not going. I don't blame them, right? So they're less likely to want. But we really still want to focus on some of these hyper that are important. But one thing I'm really, really excited, kind of connects back into last, Corny, he, of course, is from Dwarven Forge fame. He's going to be coming on our show, and that episode's scheduled June 18th. He's going to be talking Dwarven Forge Kickstarter 6, and he has a mini Kickstarter coming up before that. It's going to be just for figures for Valoria. Be another. So as far as I know, we're going to be either the first or one of the first to really talk about the Kickstarter. So
awesome.
That'll be June. I'm just
excited
for that.
Try and make sure that he agrees to put embed the video or whatever onto his Kickstarter page. It doesn't hurt. He can put it right down the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's good. Yep. It's good for the backers,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they can see the interview and see, like, you know, an in-depth talk about the product.
Yeah.
So you should do that.
Yeah, we've done it with some other Kickstarters that we've covered. Not to cover it a whole lot. We've all talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
It's been our lives talking about Kickstarter, right? And never get. And I mean, they're great, but but sometimes one jumps out at you, and like Dwarven Forge, even though I'm not AG or whatever, like there's a lot of balance. Any type of
Jenny says,
thanks, baby.
All right, yeah. So, all right,
and no, but that's us.
If you're watching this on Wargaming Recon, if you're watching it through Jonathan's show, we're the Mythwits. Mm-hmm. Steve is an honorary Mythwit, so we're the Mythwits. Make sure you check out Mythwits.com. You can find us on YouTube at YouTube.com/Mythwits, and on Facebook.com/Mythwits. Which this is live right now, so you're watching it live.
Sign up, sign up, see us on Twitter, sign up on our website, become a MythFit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you like podcasts, you can always subscribe to us on any podcatcher you have. Just look up MythWits, you're fine.
Give us some feedback, please.
Yeah, please.
We need the validation.
And Steve?
Oh, I'm Nerd Rage News, and I do something similar to them, but they...
All right, fair enough.
And then both of us are part of the TSR Podcast Network. If you like our shows, you can find other great quality podcasts to listen to and to watch. And for those of you who are fans of Wargaming Recon, you know what I'm going to say. It's cheesy, but you love it. No matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, you know that you have to, you gotta, you need to keep on.
Thanks for joining the Mythwits. Subscribe in all the places. Do the like, follow, subscribe thing wherever appropriate. And Mike? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.